The leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has been killed in a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan over the weekend. In a televised address, U.S. President Joe Biden said intelligence officials tracked Zawahiri to a home in downtown Kabul, where he was hiding with his family. Biden approved the operation last week. Zawahiri's death eliminates the figure who shaped al-Qaeda more than anyone, first as Osama bin Laden's deputy since 1998, and then his successor. Well, this video purportedly shows the aftermath of the strike in Kabul, which killed Zawahiri. On the weekend, the Afghan Interior Ministry denied reports on social media about the drone strike.
From hiding, he coordinated al-Qaeda's branches and all around the world, including setting priorities for providing operational guidance that called for and inspired attacks against U.S. targets. He made videos, including in recent weeks, calling for his followers to attack the United States and our allies. Now, justice has been delivered, and this terrorist leader is no more.
Well, Mohammed Jamjoon has more now on the man who was al-Qaeda's second most prominent figure after Osama bin Laden.
Ayman al-Zawahiri had long been a deputy to Osama bin Laden, but after the U.S. killing of the then al-Qaeda leader in 2011, Zawahiri took charge of the armed group, attempting to expand its reach while never engendering the kind of loyalty afforded his predecessor.
While he did inherit the mantle of leadership, he did not inherit Osama bin Laden's legitimacy as a mujahid leader or his credibility and legitimacy and charisma amongst the various mujahideen groups.
Born in Egypt in 1951, Zawahiri came from a distinguished family, studied medicine, and became a surgeon. In 1973, he joined the Egyptian Islamic Jihad group. The assassination of President Anwar Sadat in 1981, for which the group was blamed, proved to be a turning point for Zawahiri. While he was not charged in connection with Sadat's killing, he was imprisoned on conspiracy charges, one of thousands of religious activists jailed and tortured after the assassination. Many analysts say that experience would eventually lead him to violence. After his release from prison, Zawahiri left Egypt for Peshawar in Pakistan, where he worked as a doctor treating Afghan fighters. Then it was on to Afghanistan, where he fought against the Soviet occupation and where he began his partnership with bin Laden. Within a few years, both men would become part of the core group that became al-Qaeda. Under their leadership, the armed group accused the West of waging a modern-day crusade against Muslims and set as its ultimate goal the establishment of Islamic rule throughout the world. Al-Qaeda's ideology, along with its international campaign of violence, culminated in the 9/11 attacks. Washington offered a reward of $25 million to bring Zawahiri to justice. Offshoots of the armed group in Yemen, Somalia, and Algeria are widely believed to be his work.
After when Osama bin Laden was assassinated and Ayman al-Zawahiri took over, you can see the fracturing of the organization becoming more and more apparent.
Once the Syrian civil war began, Zawahiri found that al-Qaeda's dominance was being increasingly challenged by ISIL, which had carved out territory for itself in Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and had fighters in Yemen. In 2016, Zawahiri urged Afghan fighters to rally around the Taliban and reject ISIL's branch in Afghanistan. The U.S. had long insisted there's a relationship between the Taliban and al-Qaeda, but Taliban leaders have denied that.
I call upon the brotherly Muslims and jihadis in general, and in Afghanistan in particular, to get behind the jihadi, the patient and the steadfast emirate, and not to respond to the calls aimed at dividing the ranks of jihadis.
The death of Ayman al-Zawahiri brings an end to one of the most turbulent times in recent international security. The world will now be watching to see how al-Qaeda handles the death of its second prominent leader.
Well, Dave DeRoche is a senior fellow at the Gulf International Forum. He says the fact that al-Qaeda's leader was killed in Kabul suggests Afghanistan's government is protecting armed groups.
This is embarrassment. It shows that al-Qaeda has found a safe haven in the Taliban's Afghanistan, just as they did before 9/11. And it basically puts the lie to any idea that they have changed from what they were, as if, you know, the proof of repression of women, mismanagement of the economy, you know, as if any proof were needed. The Taliban is what they've always been. They are affiliated with al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. The problem is this happened in downtown Kabul in a house owned by a prominent leader in the Taliban. And so what it does is it highlights the fact that, you know, the low point of Biden's presidency, which was the unseemly withdrawal from Afghanistan. It highlights the fact that that basically handed over Afghanistan to a movement that is hostile to the United States. So, you know, he has a moment of triumph, and I'm sure he will try to make the most of it. But unfortunately, the question is, so what exactly was he doing there, and why was he there, and how was he able to be there, and why is the government in Afghanistan supporting Zawahiri? Those are all embarrassing questions for Biden that harkens back to the low point of his presidency.